Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John wonders what happened to the roadside rocket in Huntsville, Alabama, and tells us which states are the most stressed out. Meanwhile, I release an old comedy clip and somehow find the angriest people in Iowa. Plus a conversation about regaining a sense of wonder and what it really means to have faith like a child. Today's episode is not sponsored by election polls, getting the most accurate data from the tiny percentage of people who didn't hang up the phone on us. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Johnny, buckle up for another trip to Bantertown. Let's talk about that.
We're back.
You've been all over. Like, you really did buckle up. Been a lot of places.
I did one of those runs where your agent doesn't own a globe kind of runs. Yeah. Ron White used to have a bit about that. I do these tours because my agent doesn't own a globe. Where I was like, California, Southern California, and then I went to Oregon. And then I went to Ohio. Literally, I had to do a whole travel day in between because I had a corporate event in Ohio. The corporate event was cool. It was for a company that does building materials. And they have truck drivers who they were honoring who've driven over a million safe miles consecutively.
Wow.
So I don't know who these truckers are because the truckers I see... It seems like a hard thing to get.
Yeah, I guess you're measuring that.
I didn't lead with that. I didn't say.
You guys suck. Yeah, but they don't go that out of the
They had like a playlist that they were, before the truckers got there. They got there and people were clapping. They showed up in limos. Like, these are guys who are truck drivers, so it was like a big swanky event at a wedding. Like
running on empty. What are they?
No, there wasn't a running empty. There was a 40-hour week. No, roll on. Remember, roll on 18-wheeler. Roll on. No, Alabama.
Yeah.
Roll on the highway. Roll on through. Anyway. Roll on my... I'm just going to keep going. That'd be great if I just did the whole song. At some point, we'd have to pay Alabama, wouldn't we? I wonder at what point Alabama would be like, we flagged you.
Can I tell you something? I think it's a really lazy thing to just name your band after the state you're from. You're just pandering. Like, you know what? We'll get everybody down the whole state to like us. We just call ourselves Tennessee? Like,
Aaron, or my buddy Aaron Weber... He has a bit about that, about how, like, he likes the band Boston, but he's like, they just named their band after the whole, they represent all of Boston, really? And then he goes, then there's Alabama. He's like, seriously, Chicago? Come on, man, you can't claim all of Chicago. He goes, don't even get me started on Earth, Wind, and Fire. Those guys. Like that. It's really funny. But anyway, yeah, Alabama's just like, yeah, they just went for it.
Yeah. And they'll never make it.
It'd be funny if they weren't from Alabama. They're just like, you know what, this seems
from
like
New Jersey.
It's a big state. It feels like they'll
you know, like I've been to Alabama three times in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, for
volleyball. I've been to Montgomery, Birmingham, and Huntsville.
That's the big three.
That's the big three. It really is the big three. Well, Tuscaloosa.
This seems like a good opportunity for me to promote my show in Huntsville on March 28th at Stand Up Live Comedy Club.
Yeah.
It's one night only. And you can get tickets at my website, johnnyw.com.
You better get them while they're available.
Get them while they're hot.
Yeah.
Not like stolen.
Well, get them however you got to get them. Johnny doesn't care.
No, I'm saying the tickets aren't hot.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
A hot ticket.
You wouldn't care.
Yeah.
As long as they come.
Just scratch on the serial number of the tickets. No, just please come. It's one of those things where it's a Thursday night at a club, and I'm just trying to get all my fans to come out. So
you're just trying to make it in the world.
Listen, I'm just a boy standing in front of an audience trying to get you to love me. Mm. And I hope that you will. But that's Huntsville. Huntsville's kind of a cool town. You know, there's a lot of NASA history.
It is. You know what? I've never actually been, because when we were little, I remember we went to there was a space center that was obviously the rocket, which the rocket's gone now, right off the interstate of I-65.
Is it gone?
They've taken it down. Oh. At the Welcome Center.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. It's like
maybe it was like tipping. It was starting to feel like a safety hazard.
I don't think so, Johnny. I think they had that thing screwed down pretty well. But I think there's
it's looking all dilapidated.
It's an old rocket.
Yeah, but was it a real rocket?
It was a fixture, an icon of my childhood.
I didn't think that was an actual rocket. I thought it was like a replica.
No, that was an actual.
Oh, really?
A rocket.
Maybe it went. Maybe a rocket. Yeah. Maybe it went into a museum of some.
I think they're just reworking everything, and they decided no more rocket. And, I mean, whoever did that.
No more rocket.
No more. Those people should be, I don't know. I don't agree with this new administration.
So one time I did an event. It was a corporate event. I don't know if I ever told you this. It was in Titusville, Florida, which is where they do the launches. You know, it's where they do the.
I thought that was Port Canaveral.
Well, no. It's right there. It's all connected. So it's like you go Orlando, then you go east.
So it's technically Titusville.
Yeah, Titusville. So I'm there, and it's at the Space Center. They go, the event's going to be at the Space Center.
I remember you doing the event this, but no.
And I go, what do you mean? They go, inside. I go, the museum? They go, yeah. They go, they've
rented. No, inside the rocket.
Yeah, they've rented the space. Well, it may as well have been, because so I go in there, and they've set up this literally like 8x8 foot stage.
Wow.
And it's on these little risers, and hardly any lights on me. So it's very dim. But we're under, who knows what they paid to rent out this museum? It's after hours, but it's like they've catered this meal. All these people are wearing suits and it's very swanky. They could care less about me.
Yeah.
And they put me on stage and it was just like, I'm in the dark. But right above me is one of the scrapped Apollo missions. I think it might have been 8. Whichever one they didn't fly.
Yeah.
Because they had a safety concern or something. But the entire rocket, length to length, is just hanging from guide wires above me.
Wow.
So it's like it's an amazing thing, but you're also going, so you rented this room. I mean, that tens of thousands of dollars had to be.
Yeah.
And then you didn't buy one light to shine on the guy who's telling jokes to these people.
Right. You thought to hang a rocket.
You hung a rocket here.
Right.
Yeah. The rocket was blocking my light. Can we move this rocket?
I do remember because, well, we had... There's reasons we can't talk about that I remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of that particular show.
There was one that I didn't want to take.
But you were brave.
I don't know if I was brave.
Put it this way. You were brave and I was praying for you the whole time.
Was I as brave as the men and women who went into
space?
Goodness.
I think so.
They risked life and limb.
You launched yourself into an uncomfortable situation.
Right.
And then detached in orbit so that you could do your comedy from your emotions.
Yes.
And then re-entered.
Safely.
Splashed down back in Mount Juliet later.
Safely re-entered.
I'm telling you.
Wearing my heat shield Mylar outfit. I'm very monochromatic today. I don't mean to be. This feels like I'm from the future.
Do you think that there's a day? I've never seen a day that you weren't monochromatic.
No. I'm saying like green on green like this. Normally there's something. If you're watching this, listener, I'm wearing like an olive green sweater. And then I have an olive green, like, track jacket on.
Yeah.
But they're literally the exact same color. It just looks very bland, and I apologize.
Well, you and I...
I'm not doing a lot for
people.
We
traffic in bland colors. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's,
I don't take a lot of risks.
No. It's grays, blacks, maybe a navy every once in a while. I'm getting really crazy.
I'm not that fun. I think people think that I'm going to be a lot of fun.
No. Really? You're really not.
Uh-uh.
I'm telling you.
I make fun of you.
Yeah, his fun is making fun of you.
Yes. Speaking of which, I got myself a little hot water.
Oh, no.
Maybe we should talk about it after the break. Let's go early to the break.
Oh, go early.
It's a long story.
Going early today. Guys, you heard it here from Johnny. We're going to take a moment to hear a word from a few of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
I'm titillated.
As you should be. I put out, three clips a week for the past 15 months.
Right.
You know, because we've been really, really hitting social media.
It's hard. A yeoman
By
effort.
The way, we just passed 300,000 on Facebook.
Wow. I like how you said we.
What's a team, John? Yeah, and I consider you a part of the team. In no way whatsoever. No, but it's... So you put these clips out, and some of these are older clips. You know, they're from whatever. They're from my stand-up special that I recorded in 2016. They just clip it up, and they whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes they recycle them. Hey, let's rename it. Let's do this. And they just do it because it reaches a whole new audience each time. You hope. And so we've put this clip out probably six times in the span that I've been, you know, really, really focusing on social media. And it's about going to Iowa and... There's double-decker grave plots in Iowa, and it's a whole joke. The whole thing is about whatever. It's just it's a joke about that. But I set up the joke by saying, like, if you ever get a chance to go to Iowa, go ahead and skip it.
Right.
Right. It's just a funny, dumb thing that comedians say about, if you're going to go to this middle of nowhere state, go ahead and skip it.
That's a corn maze from which there's no escape.
Yeah, it's just a big, dumb, it's just a bit dismissive, but it's silly. It's not like I really hate Iowa. I love Iowa. People in Iowa are very nice. It's just it's a joke.
I kind of think you're protesting a lot here.
Here's the thing. This thing comes out, so January we re-release it. I think the title of it was funerals in Iowa are next level. That's how they title it.
Okay.
So it's kind of a play
That's
on
not
double
bad.
Decker. It's not bad. But then the whole clip is there. So the whole thing about me setting it up, and I don't even know how much people are listening, but they hashtagged Iowa in it for some reason.
Oh no.
So the algorithm is very funny. So I'm watching along, and I'll get notifications. I'm on a trip this past week. I've been gone gone 9 out of 10 days on the road. And a week ago, I started getting notifications, and I go look. The comments are angry comments. Screw you, dude. Stay out. You know,
You're
I
kidding.
Was great. You know, this is exactly why. And I mean, it's crazy. A couple people were threatening me. you come here, you know, you'll be buried 10 feet deep.
No way.
I was like, you can't do that online. I had to block some people. I don't care if you say, it's not funny or whatever.
Also, it's going to require really heavy equipment to actually make that happen.
Yeah, come on, man. You can't follow through with that. But people, so we have no idea why, but it got 50,000 views from January 23rd when it was released to the end of February. And then the last 5 days... It got 300,000 more views, 350,000 more views. And it got dumped into a pool of people
who hate
me.
The idea of you hating on Iowa.
They are so defensive of
They're
Iowa.
Angry.
And I don't know what to do because it really hits me because I really need to be liked. You know this about me. It's one of the reasons I do this job. I can be these people, come on, get a sense of humor. But it really does bother me when people leave hateful comments.
Yeah.
I wish it didn't bother me.
Maybe they're bots.
No, these are specific
these are
people.
Personal.
Because you can go to their accounts. Because I was every one of them I clicked on. Not everyone, but the ones I clicked on, I knew they were going to say they're from Iowa. And they were. Every one of them were from Iowa. And I was okay. So I was asking one of the guys at my social media people yesterday, I go, what do you think's causing this? I said, I don't like it. I said, it's not like I'm trying to be a snowflake over here. I don't care. But I have to sit with it. I have to babysit this clip.
Yeah.
Because I have to delete like curse words, because kids come and look at my clip, so I can't just have like an FU
right.
that I've left up there or a death threat, you know, whatever. And so, of course, if you get one, it spawns more. Like, it makes the clip go further. The more people interact, it's spreading. It may have a million by now. I don't know. So, but I look, it's only got like, you know, you have the angry emoji.
Yeah.
There's only 27 of those out of thousands of likes. And the guy goes, well, Johnny, and he's right. He goes, Johnny, like 100,000 people liked this and like, you know, 15,000 shared it. And 25 hate it and hate you. And then like 100 people commented something snarky. But that's, if you think about it, that's less than 1%. It's nothing. I go, I know. How do we make it stop? Like, it still bothers me. And so I don't know what to do, but it's just odd. And now that I've said this on the thing, people are going to go comment on it and be like, just to tease
me. Hope it didn't bother you, Johnny.
Yeah, but it does. I don't know. I wish it didn't bother me. But at the same time, like, I've not deleted it because I'm like, that's dumb, too, to delete the clip. It's almost like admitting defeat.
Interesting.
There's no reason they should be upset by it. It's a really benign thing to say, like, hey, Iowa's a boring state. Skip it. That's basically the joke.
From a comedian.
And then that's not even the real joke. That's just to get into the joke of like my experience that I had in Iowa, which is seeing a double-decker
grape
fly.
A jab before the uppercut.
Yes. And plus, I'm from Tennessee. Everybody makes fun of Tennessee. We're all hillbillies.
Fun of Tennessee.
I do.
All the time. We've already made fun of Alabama today.
But if that was the first thing you ever saw of me, which is what's happening, they've never heard of me, and all they see is Iowa, hashtag Iowa. And then they see me making fun of their state. Yeah. They get up in their feelings about it. I get it. But here's what my guy said. I didn't get to that part. He thinks it's because the primaries were this week.
Hey.
And he says, I think you got dumped into a pool of people who are at the Iowa primary. And they're already like prone to be mad.
Yeah, they're already
upset at like what they perceive as elitism by...
Right.
You know, politicians or whatever, or the rest of the country looking down on them. And here's a clip where a guy, you know, appears to look down on them.
And there's people in that circle who are willing to give death threats.
Yeah.
You know how many justices are getting death threats right now?
Yeah, it's wild. Well, I'm not pretending that I'm a Supreme Court justice, John.
Johnny, I think you're right on that level.
I think if I put my mind to it.
I still.
All that said, I got a viral clip, so that's...
Wow. But that's like viral, like you got sick with a virus kind of viral.
Yeah, it's like a...
It's not the way you want
it. People are mad. I just...
Do you want to issue a statement here on our podcast of like...
I just want to say to the lovely... Because the thing is, I told Curry about it last night, and she was like laughing about it. And I go, here's the weird thing. I've been doing that joke forever.
Right.
But I will say, I don't book a lot of shows in Iowa. So maybe it really is striking a chord. People are like, well, don't bring that guy here.
Yeah.
He's a jerk. He hates Iowa. I don't hate Iowa.
You love Iowa.
I love Iowa.
You know what?
The Iowa people.
We need, right now you're in the Iowa of the storm.
Wait, I know.
Why don't you have one of our listeners from Iowa right now who's a pastor or something. Guys.
Yeah, I need somebody to say like, Johnny's a good guy.
Bring him in on a reconciliation tour.
Yeah. A mea culpa kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like when I've been to Iowa, which is I've been a handful of times, and I don't do that joke the same way, obviously. I'll just say something like, well, I've been here before, and there's a lot of states I could see living in, but there's some states I would definitely not want to die in. And this is one of those states. And then I explain the whole double-decker thing. So I definitely alter it. So there's definitely part of me that's like,
hey,
let's punch down at Iowa when I'm not in Iowa. So I'm not pretending that it's a whole
this
thing.
This all feels absurd to me.
I'm sorry, absurd.
The whole thing.
It is absurd.
I have to stop. You're overthinking it. You're so, and that's just coming from me.
Yeah, I know.
Like I'd love to overthink.
Yeah.
But it's comedy.
But you're giving me the benefit of the doubt because you know me and you know that like I don't have any like ill intent.
If you had ill intent.
But if you never saw anything but that of me and you're like, who is this guy?
If I heard some comedian out there that I thought was a jerk, was making fun of Tennessee, and I'm from Tennessee and I like it, I still wouldn't comment and I wouldn't give him death threats.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry. There's something wrong with the viewer at that point.
Yeah.
At what point that you go, as I'm typing this, that you come here, you'll be 10 feet down.
Yeah.
This is the right thing to do. Like, that's right. Where everything went awry.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that you told a joke as a comedian that people like and that people from that state probably like, because we like to be kind of make fun.
No, there were actually a lot of people in the comments being like, oh, I'm from here and that's hilarious and my parents are buried that way. Then there's a lot of people who are saying, like, that's not even true. They don't do that here. And I'm like, actually, they really do. They do it a lot of places, actually.
Like, I saw it.
Yeah. They do it
now,
a lot.
No, they don't
of
play Connect Four.
No. Right. They do it a lot of places, and there's a lot of like military cemeteries.
You're not really besmirching the act of burying
people. I'm just saying it's odd and it's fun. I like making fun of death because death scares me, and I like writing jokes about things that scare me, like Iowa. Terrified of Iowa.
You know, I will say this. I'm writing a book right now, and I was looking through my notes with the publisher, and the topic of the book can get really minefieldy.
Yeah,
very fast.
Right.
And
the topic is minefields.
And so, yeah, I couldn't believe it. I have so much expertise in this. And the publisher had written something down that he said, listen, we want to help, because we're trying not to make it like a so apologetic.
Yeah.
All of these just caveats and caveats and caveats. You want to be able to say what you want to say and not get so lost in trying to set it up.
Yeah, too many disclaimers.
Right. He said, but here's the thing. What we do want to do is give enough disclaimers or caveats that we don't offend people who are trying to come to this topic in good faith.
Yeah, sure.
He said, but the people who are coming in bad faith, there's nothing we can do about them.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at and why I didn't pull down the clip, because I was like, I'll never get this person anyway.
Right.
They're being crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, they're a lost cause. I hate to be that way because these are fellow people.
Well, they're. I like the term. They're coming in bad faith, so it's a lost cause for this conversation with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It doesn't mean they're a lost cause.
Like, they're never going to be a fan. I'm not going to be like, well, hold on. What about this clip? Don't you see now why you would actually be like? They're going to be like, no, you've already, you know.
And they would lose respect for you even more.
Right.
With you or they would be like, ooh, I got them.
They're losing respect as they hear this. They're like, this guy, this poor guy.
That's what's crazy. They didn't take time to really go watch all your clips, but they came and listened to an hour long form podcast afterwards.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Which I find interesting.
But Johnny, people come by the millions.
They do. We welcome them all here.
They do.
At talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
We make an extraordinarily low amount of money. Like, we still lose money to have that many people. It's so strange.
If people knew the time and energy that we put into this podcast, they'd be surprised how little it would be.
Right. They'd be like, oh, that's a great product for such.
It's just that we like the sound of our own voices enough that we've kept it going.
You know what it is, Johnny? I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're aware of this.
Okay.
This is a great time for me to say it. The reason I do this podcast, the main reason, I get to hang out with my best friend.
I like it too. That's how I feel. It's like it's a good little, we can check in with each other and then people can listen in if they want.
Yeah.
But it's not for them, John. It's for us.
It's for us. But did you know that it's a monumental day?
Oh, is it?
This is episode 300.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right now.
Look at that. We made it.
300.
I just passed 300,000. We're on episode 300.
That's almost a coincidence. Yeah,
it is. It's the definition of a coincidence.
Absolutely. There's really literally nothing connected to it.
I was almost afraid to post that I'd reached 300,000 because it was barely over the hill, and I thought people are going to go unfollow me.
And I'll show you.
I'll fall back. Because the Iowa thing was going on right then, too, and I was like, these Iowa.
As it's come to be known, the Iowa thing. Hey, speaking of places, though, I do, before I get into
your quote of the week,
I wanted to just, there's an article that came out.
Okay.
That is fascinating. I think Iowa might be mentioned in it, but maybe not. Maybe it was Idaho.
Hopefully.
Sorry. And then people from Iowa get really freaked out if you confuse
Iowa
it with Idaho.
Yeah.
There's a article about which states in the United States have the most stressed populations, most stressed out people.
Oh, okay.
And Johnny, drum roll. Tennessee came in first.
We
are the most stressed out state.
Doesn't that seem counterintuitive to you, though?
Well, that's what it
said. Got all these mountains and streams.
I know. And so they do it by four main categories of stress: money, work, health, and family.
Yeah.
And they use data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the U.S. Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's like a legitimate study,
peer reviewed, and all that.
And like we ranked first. In fact, out of the top 10, five of them from the South.
Mm-hmm.
So we scored, but we were not first in any of the categories, but we were just so high in each of them.
Right.
So we weren't even champions of this. We couldn't even claim like a crown. It was like just because we're so bad across the board.
Yeah.
That we somehow slipped into first place.
Usually when they do these things, they do those studies and you're like, oh man, like I remember because we were in D.C. at the Capital One Arena, which that's where the Wizards play, Washington Wizards play. And they had old uniforms up from the 80s and maybe early 90s before they changed the name. And they were, do you remember what they were?
And the
NBA team.
Yeah, hold on. Yes, what these are like in the 50s, right?
No, all the way up to the 80s. When, like, Bernard King played for them.
Okay, I do know this. Dang it. It's not the Nationals, obviously.
No. It's really
Senators.
Aggressive. No. Mm-mm. That's the Cat. You're thinking of the Capitals, and that's the hockey team.
Capitals.
The Bullets.
They were the
Washington Bullets, and then they were like, and then D.C.
became
the murder capital of the U.S. for a couple of years in a row, and they were like, you know what? Maybe this isn't
bullets.
The imagery that we need here.
We just wanted to say we're going fast.
How about Wizards? So they went with Wizards.
And now, I can't believe it.
The capital of witchcraft.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's really a bad look for them, and there's a lot of spells being cast.
We could make a lot of political statements right now.
Not a lot of wins, though.
Come on,
you know, they've won like 10 games.
Yeah. You're still talking about basketball?
Yeah.
In Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, like, you change the name, and you're like, we'll revamp. And then, like, but they've not done a lot of winning.
Wizards was weird. It needed to be connected somehow.
But it's an alliteration.
Johnny, take it from a preacher.
Yeah.
Alliteration does not always make things better. Like, that's the myth you live by.
Yeah.
The first, like, 10 years of ministry. And then you realize no one cares. Just make a good name.
Yeah. Anyway, so finish your thing about the study. I just thought that was interesting that, like, these studies come out and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that's when they released, like, this is the new murder capital of the whatever. And you're like, oh, boy. And you hope that your state isn't it. But
we found out we're number one here.
Number one residents, here in stress.
Residents of Tennessee work more than the average American. The state came in number three for most hours work with an average of 42.3 hours a week.
I would like to say that I'm doing my part to bring that down.
I think you are. I was going to say, I know a lot of people that...
I'm not in the meat of that curve.
Uh-uh.
I am not.
There's a chance if you're listening to this podcast...
This is my work for the day, honestly. Like, I'm done after this. All I got to do is go pack, and I'm getting ready to leave for the road, which you could call it work, but come on, guys.
It's work.
I get that my job is hard. I have a big, dumb job, and I get it. It's fun.
Right. But it takes a lot of effort.
But I'm saying, like, nobody... I'm stressed, but only, like, self-induced.
Well...
Like, you call it anxiety.
Yeah. Well, anxiety's not always... That's a topic to continue on here. Let me continue. They also scored pretty low, and it came to residents' yearly income, number 9.
Oh, wow.
And their ability to work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one of the longest average commute times, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
Tennessee has scored very high for most health stress, coming in third place for the highest level of depression prevalence.
Wow.
Third place in depression, Johnny.
That's wild.
At 24.4%. 24.4% of Tennesseans have depression. And more than 15% of residents said that their physical health isn't good for more than 14 days a month, which I thought that was an interesting one.
Huh.
Like, they kind of call it, I felt very seen by this.
Yeah.
Because I am the kind of guy that can gain and lose 10 pounds in a month.
Yeah.
And I might just be like, you go with me this morning. I ordered the fruit, right?
Yeah.
And I'm doing great this week.
This is one of your good 14.
Right.
The other 15 days are...
But you might catch me next week. And I'm like, just bring me two helpings of pancakes. You know what I'm saying? So apparently that's
just leave the 2-liter bottle of soda, please.
Right. That's a Tennessee thing, apparently. So anyway, top 10 states, and then we'll be moving on here. Tennessee, Alabama, which again, it's full circle for the day. Oklahoma, number 3.
Right.
Louisiana, number 4. Nevada, South Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, which that's shocking to me because that's the place everyone goes to get away from it all, you know? West Virginia, and then number 10, Indiana. But the least stressful state, gosh, I wish it was Iowa because this would be so perfect.
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
But it's not. It's North Dakota.
Huh.
North Dakota.
Man.
Followed by Utah and Iowa. There we go.
Okay, so Iowa does
I just put it all together there.
All right, so Iowa, yeah, they're in the...
New York.
It's a great place to live, evidently, as far as like stress in your life.
Guys,
you feel
we've been
more
saying it the whole
sense
episode.
Of well-being.
Iowa's a great place to be.
A very small percentage of you also leave death threats on people's comment threads, but That's such a small...
It's so small.
Those people are honorary Tennesseans. That's they're the stress very level they're out. At. Yeah. They need to be here. They right. feel like they're here.
There's some sort of mental health thing going on if you'll threaten somebody
yeah.
over Facebook, over a joke.
It's okay.
Like, yeah, see somebody. Go. Yeah. Go sit down with someone.
Yeah. Come sit down with me, Iowa people.
Let's no. Sit down with... No, don't sit down with Johnny.
Oh, no?
You've threatened his life.
Oh.
Yeah, go sit down and see a professional, like a therapist or someone, maybe a right. doctor. Law enforcement.
You don't
anything.
Think I should have like an Iowa summit with these people? Like a town hall?
Well, you can. Are you going there, inviting them here?
Remember that?
As soon as they cross the line, their heads just explode from stress.
Remember that episode of Geraldo when we were kids where like he had white supremacists on and then they threw a chair and it broke his nose?
Yes.
It was like a big melee.
I remember that.
And he appeared and later he had this huge...
Like, it was like a crown of glory on his face.
Oh, yeah. He knew like this is going to be ratings gold.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah. Like I have now taken on literally in hand-to-hand combat the white supremacists.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, can I just say this?
Yeah.
I think we should denounce white supremacists.
Oh, okay.
So when we don't do that, that really bothers me. Oh. We can't just openly. I mean, Geraldo's getting hit in the head with a chair over this.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
It's hard for us
but
to say
that. But he also kind of had them on because he knew it would be good television.
Well, I'm not saying that it was all altruistic or he had some great...
Yeah.
Yes, I'm just saying we should be willing to take a chair to the nose to say this is wrong. And Johnny, on that note... Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not on that note at all. this week, I'd like to go to my quote of the week.
Oh, your quote of the week.
Yeah, the segment we call They Talked About That. Oh, we harmonized that
both. Time. Yeah. It was like a unison harmony.
We've been singing a lot of harmony lately. In the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is more like a passage than a quote today.
Yeah.
That's a C.S. Lewis passage. And I've heard something similar that he said is a more famous quote that you'll probably reference because I know you, I think you quote this sometimes, but this is, I thought the passage was great. C.S. Lewis said, "We must simply accept that we are spirits, free and rational beings at present inhabiting an irrational universe and must draw the conclusion that we are not derived from it. We are strangers here. We come from somewhere else. Nature is not the only thing that exists. There is, quote, another world. And that is where we come from. And that explains why we do not feel at home here. A fish feels at home in the water. If we, quote, belonged here, we should feel at home here. All that we say about nature, about death and time and mutability, all our half-amused, half-bashful attitude to our own bodies," which I thought was very interesting. He's like even saying... The way we self-loathe our appearance and our bodies is quite inexplicable on the theory that we are simply natural creatures. Mm-hmm. If this world is the only world, how do we come to find its laws either so dreadful or so comic? If there's no straight line elsewhere, how did we discover that nature's line is crooked?
Hmm.
I mean,
that's pretty deep.
I mean, the idea, and you've heard before, I'm paraphrasing, but if I find within me a desire that nothing here can satisfy, then I can only conclude that I'm not from here, basically. Or I'm from another place. So he said something, you know, to that extent.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about that whole idea that, like, just the lack of comfortability in our own skin kind of undergirds that belief. Like, that idea that, like, we don't even... The anxiety that we feel about ourselves and our bodies and our place in the world, you know, proves that we're not... We're kind of strangers. We're...
Well, it's a strong argument because if you're going on a purely rational, nature-based argument, creatures in nature are at home in their environments.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not a fish that, you know, we don't really know what the fish is thinking, Johnny.
We don't know. There could be some fish anxiety out there.
I did write a...
Maybe the fish in Tennessee. We don't know what they're going through.
Oh, my gosh. It's a stressed out waters.
There's a whole other report coming out
whole
on them later.
Thing, yeah.
On wildlife.
I did write a children's book one time about a talking fish, but anyway, that's another story.
Yeah,
and she was struggling.
It was literally another story. And you can get that at johndriver.com.
But yeah, I mean, that idea, I think that probably the skeptic in me that tries to formulate the dissonant response to this would be like, yeah, the reason that we are so stressed out or so anxious or so not at home
mm-hmm.
with ourselves and our surroundings is because our minds have evolved to such a complex state mm-hmm. that we're always looking for something else that can't be. It plays right back into his argument. His argument is,
yeah.
if that's the case, you know, you're not evolving to a better state. Why is there always something right out of reach? Why do you never reach the Star Trek level where suddenly we've solved the world hunger and solved mm-hmm. sickness and like we seem to get sicker and worse the more that we learn. And so there's just an interesting take.
Even the Star Trek level wasn't the right level because think about the Next Generation. They had a bald captain. All that time they haven't solved baldness?
Come on, man. Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. Did you say Picard?
Jean-Luc Picardy.
That's a whole different.
They haven't used that yet. No. Jean-Luc Picard. It came out, but I was Jean-Luc. Trying to say.
Patrick Stewart. But yeah, look, I'm with you. I just think, there is a stress from just being here that we're all experiencing. And is it a signifier that we don't belong? I will say this too. I saw this tweet yesterday and it was interesting. It was somebody talking about that the best cure for like cynicism is just to treat your life with like try to refine wonder. They were talking about like the monotony of going to the grocery store. Like if you were just a kid, can you imagine how you felt when you were a kid in the grocery store? All these lights and food everywhere, rows and rows of candy, all that stuff. And then over time, you just lose that sense of wonder.
Yeah.
It becomes this dreary drudge of a chore that you have to go do. And they were like, they were saying that their therapist told them this, try to live in your city as though you're an alien and see things through those eyes. And that's the cure for like, I don't know, just a lack of patience with the world, whatever it is. And I think there's something to that. I definitely have a cynical side to me or a nihilistic side that just says, this is all dying. This is all fading. This is all whatever. But every now and again, I do unlock that side of myself where, especially sometimes when I'm writing, you're writing a joke, you're trying to go like, why do we do that? You're reassessing something that's considered normal. You're looking at it with this weird third eye.
Right.
And I think that's how you write jokes, but it's also like, you want to unlock that thing. You want to be that, I don't know. Like I was stuck in the snow I was afraid I wasn't going to make it for my flight in Oregon. They had those huge snowdrifts in California and Oregon. And I was like, when you're a kid, this is the most exciting thing that could ever happen. You know, a day out of school is falling from the sky. That's what it feels like.
Right.
And then you get to go sled in it. But when you're an adult, you're like, you dread it. You're like, this is going to upset everything. And I get that there's a time to be whatever. You got to be careful. But I think we got to figure out how to tap into that sense of wonder if we can.
Yeah, our mutual friend, Caleb Christopher Edwards, who we've been on the podcast before,
He
puts out amazing music, but he talks a lot in our group even and reads a lot about wonder. Mm-hmm. That was sort of his word, I think, for the year, maybe for last year. I can't remember which year it was because he picks a word for the year. But it's that I even think about the scripture saying, you know, faith like a child.
Yeah.
I think that there's a deep wonder component in that because it's not just belief like a child.
Right.
Because I believe there's a big difference between childlike faith and childish faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right, right.
So childishness can make you petty, moody, and with I guess, expectations beyond what are reasonable or even realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then a disappointment when those things aren't met. That's childish faith. Mm-hmm. God was going to do this for me. You know, I knew it. Someone promised me he would. It's a lot of faith. It's just, it's not based upon the Father's will as much as your will, which that's the definition of childishness, right?
Is that
it's my will that I'm trying to exert. So, I mean, a kid has a will out of the gate. I mean, you know, the moment they can begin doing anything, they're going to try to find a way to exert their will, and that's not bad. It just has to be redirected into the maturity place. But a childlike, I think, somehow retains not those childish traits, but says, I can experience something anew. And that's really where wonder comes from. I can see it anew, experience it anew.
Yeah.
I think it was C.S. Lewis also said something to the effect of miracles are not really miracles. They're just to us because of the laws of nature that we know and ascribe to, they feel like miracles because we now see something different than what our laws.
It's like a glitch.
But they're not to God at all, but they're just normal for him, you know. So
yeah, and I think too, the childlike versus childish, like there's a trust. Like if you're on a long road trip, you can't drive the car yet, you're a kid, you're a baby, but you trust your father. You feel like he's, even if you don't know where you're going, there has to be a trust there. And if you don't understand it, because there's so much about life we don't understand, but we have to have a trust. Otherwise, you go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's good.
Quote of the week, John. Very nice.
Quote of the week.
Let's wrap it up with This Week in History. It's a segment we call Talk About Then. John, this week, 1981, Walter Cronkite anchored his last evening newscast. To some of our younger listeners, and I don't, you know, obviously we didn't, I didn't really grow up with Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen clips and things. I would have been seven when this happened. So, yeah, 81. So he anchored his last, but Walter Cronkite was kind of like one of the last of that trusted newsman.
Yeah.
You know, thing where it wasn't like he had an angle, he had an agenda.
Right.
Spin, all those things came into play later with cable news and everything else in 24-hour news and the idea of like almost a clickbaity vibe. Walter Cronkite was the guy. He literally, his famous thing was, and that's the way it is.
Like, right.
You would never, you know, something
this
like,
is truth and not opinion. Yeah.
Right. That's what so he became known as the most trusted man in America after being so named in a public opinion poll. So this was not this like, oh, they branded him.
Yeah.
He branded himself that. Like the public was behind Walter Cronkite. If he said it, it probably happened. Or he's not pulled left or right or whatever it was. There's been divisions in the country for decades and decades and hundreds of years. We know that. But for some reason, like, this guy we trusted in a way that we don't trust modern media.
Well, think about how much more limited information is coming in a news program versus 24-hour cycle.
Yeah.
Meaning you're trusting him to curate the most important things and not trying to take in everything that could be in the world.
Yeah, that's true. And the other thing about a 24-hour cycle is you need a story to go on forever so people stay on the app and stay on the channel. And so you keep extrapolating and injecting, you know, your own biases and propaganda into the story to keep the momentum of it going.
Yep.
And so it becomes very TMZ-ish. And then you become part of the story.
Right.
You know, half the news now is just like
how the news is affecting.
Yeah. Or you'll see somebody like Sean Hannity and he'll be like talking about how he's being attacked by the bullet. And you're like, you never should be a part of this.
Right. You're
telling
supposed
us. To be telling the news. Now you're talking about a reaction to you. Like, stay out of the way. Like, we're supposed to be out of the way, but that's not really, modern media is just not that way.
Well, yeah. I mean, journalists journalism as a actual discipline and something you went to school to learn and did. Yeah, they were, the guys like him would have been mortified to be a part of the story because he told it in a way that caused people not just to question the story, but to question him. I mean, wasn't it Dan Rather that had the scathing report about George W. Bush and then found out that his stuff was not based upon all fact?
Right.
And he was of that generation still somewhat.
Yeah.
And he resigned.
Yeah, he stepped down. That's when he was like, I'm putting myself out to pasture now.
Because I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
He literally self-corrected.
Yeah.
You could say that he was wrong, but there was that kind of honor. Imagine how many stories now you're like, well, that's gone. They just got buried somewhere in the cycle. So, yeah, Walter Cronkite.
John, finally, born this week, 1939, Thailand-born British-American personal computer pioneer Adam Osborne. And he's famous because he created the first commercially available portable computer, which was called the Osborne 1 in 1981. And this has become, he's become a big thing in business because of what is called the Osborne effect. And so this is a big thing in business, a big principle in business. He's credited with the Osborne effect after announcing the development of his company's new advanced computers. Buyers chose to wait for the new computer, thus killing the sales of the current Osborne 1 and bankrupted the company.
Wow.
So his company goes bankrupt because he's pushing a new product.
And they're
people
waiting.
People get so excited, they hold on to their money. And they didn't buy the one that's out now.
Wow.
So there are companies who have this in mind when they're trying to roll out a new thing. They're like, we don't want the Osborne effect to get us. We want people to buy the Apple 15 while we announce the Apple 16 at the exact right time.
Yeah.
We want to get their money both times. How do we do that? And the Osborne effect is the reason for that. So he kind of led the way in the wrong way.
I wonder if we have people who thought about being patrons and they're like, but maybe we're waiting on this show to get better. And then we would say to you, don't wait.
Please don't wait.
Run, don't walk.
This is a one-time only offer.
That's that's a fascinating.
Yeah.
Man, wow. Well.
The idea that people would hedge their bet.
Yeah.
The consumer. And the consumer now, I wonder if they're, how much different they are than a consumer in 1981. But because obviously you're talking about personal computer money. Not everybody had a personal computer in their home. You know, it was probably, you know, a certain kind of person that would even buy a computer. And how much of their income percentage would it have been versus now? Like, I'd be interested to see that. But yeah, there are definitely people who go, well, I'm not buying this now. I'm going to wait for the new thing to come out.
Yeah.
And that's the Osborne effect. So
I think it's what happens in the auto industry, probably.
Yeah.
That's why they have that brand new cars that didn't get sold that year, but the new model comes out in what, like September or whatever,
right,
the next
year.
So now what do you do with those?
Yeah.
The answer is you sell them to me, Johnny, with a discount.
John has a fleet of cars.
Ugh.
You can't believe
you guys right now.
Has.
You push, pull, drag yourself on into driver auto sales.
0.2% financing. Bankruptcy? No problem. Divorce? No problem. I mean, it's a problem. But not to get a car.
Divorce, sorry about that.
Sorry. Like, we'll talk with you. We'll sit with you. We'll weep with you. And then we'll sell you a car.
That's great.
If you want to go to talk about that podcast,
we'll sell you a car.
We will sell you 300 episodes of our podcast.
Yeah.
For the low, low price of free. But if you want to support the show and help us make more things, you can do that there. There's an upper right-hand link that says support. And that's where you get ad-free content, John. Get the show without ads if you like that. Go to the bottom right. That's where you can send us a note or just go to hello@talkaboutthatpodcast.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
Yeah, we do. We got a gained a couple new comments this week. I don't know if you saw some of those. Got a five-star. Somebody who found us from the Nate tour with you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Those are fun, man. We had a blast this last run because I actually wasn't sick this time.
Yeah.
So we got to we played basketball on the Wizards practice court. I'll talk more about that next episode, my run with Nate. It was a blast. So stay tuned for that, dear listener.
It's going to be exciting. I can't wait. Okay. I can't wait. Hey, guys, thanks for all you do. Yeah, visit JohnnyWJONNIEW.com. Make sure you check out his tour dates. He's coming to a town near you, even in Iowa.
Even in Iowa, we hope. We can always hope.
Yeah. Guys, this is the beginning of change.
Let's be the healing that we want to see in the world.
Yeah. I mean, why would we sit back right now and let's build a coalition, Johnny.
This fractured relationship has got to come together.
It's got to.
I love you, Iowa.
Oh. All right. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. I'll
talk about that.
What do you do when the world around you is falling apart? It's amazing to me how many people are breathing air. They're going about their business and doing the things you're supposed to do. But if you really ask them, they know that on the inside, they are spiritually and emotionally and relationally dead. If we're not careful, all of us can experience that death. When what we need to do, even as the world around us is falling apart, we need to learn how to march when it would be easier to stay where we are and die. Join me each week on the March or Die Show as we discuss that and so much more.